Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Jehoiachong. Our text for reflection is John 3:22 to 30. The Gospel according to St. John chapter 3, verse 22 to 30. Then Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and went into the Judean countryside. Jesus spent some time with them there, baptizing people. At this time, John the Baptist was baptizing at Enon, near Salim, because there was plenty of water there, and people kept coming to him for baptism. A debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him and said, "Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people, and everybody is going to him instead of coming to us." John replied, "No one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less." My theme for reflection is, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. Have you ever been to a wedding where the best man forgot his role? Imagine a toast where he made it all about himself, stealing the spotlight from the bride and groom. It would be cringe-worthy, wouldn't it? But in a world where attention often becomes a currency, the temptation to take center stage isn't confined to wedding receptions. This is the tension we find in John 3:22 to 30. John the Baptist is approached by his disciples, worried that Jesus' growing popularity is overshadowing John's ministry. But rather than grasping for the spotlight, John redirects attention to where it belongs, Jesus, the bridegroom. His response, "He must increase, but I must decrease," is a powerful model of humility that resonates in every age. The passage opens with a vivid picture of parallel ministries unfolding in the Judean countryside. Jesus and his disciples are baptizing in one location, while John the Baptist and his followers are baptizing in another. Crowds, however, begin shifting toward Jesus, prompting concern among John's disciples. They approach him saying, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." This moment could have easily turned into a crisis of ego for John. After all, he was no small figure. Even the Jewish historian Josephus described him as a major leader with considerable influence. Yet John's response is a masterclass in humility. He does not see Jesus as a rival. Instead, he offers significant insights into his reliance on Christ, his relationship with Christ, and his rule for Christ. John begins by reminding his disciples of a foundational truth. A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. He acknowledges that every aspect of his ministry, his influence, his followers, his opportunities are gifts from God. This recognition shapes his posture of gratitude and dependence. John's words challenge our modern obsession with self-made success and personal merit. In a world that often measures greatness by effort and accolades, John reminds us that all we have, our talents, achievements, and even our breath, are gifts of grace. As the philosopher David Hume observed, a man's true greatness lies not in what he possesses, but in what he gives away. Recognizing that all we have comes from God frees us to live generously with open hands and humble hearts. To illustrate his rule, John uses a striking metaphor. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. John likens himself to the best man at a wedding, celebrating the joy of the bridegroom rather than seeking attention for himself. His joy is not diminished by Jesus' growing prominence. On the contrary, it is made complete. In a culture that prizes individual recognition and personal branding, John's attitude is revolutionary. He finds his identity not in accolades or achievements, but in his relationship with Christ. His humility springs from knowing his place in God's story. Do we find our sense of self in our closeness to Christ or in the fleeting approval of the world? John reminds us that true purpose and joy come from pointing others to Christ, not elevating ourselves. John concludes his response with a simple yet profound declaration: he must increase, but I must decrease. With these words, John encapsulates his entire ministry. His mission is to prepare the way for Jesus, and once the Messiah steps into the spotlight, John willingly steps aside. His fulfillment comes not from holding on to influence, but from knowing his work has glorified Christ. This principle holds true for every believer. Like John, we are called to be best men for Christ, celebrating his glory and directing others to him. Our lives should echo Paul's words in Philippians 1:20, "Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." Just as the best man rejoices in the success of the bridegroom, we find our ultimate purpose in lifting up Christ. My dear friends, John's humility stands as a challenge to our self-centered culture. In an age of social media, where likes and shares can make us crave attention, the temptation to seek the spotlight is ever present. But true greatness lies in reflecting Christ's glory, not our own. When we recognize our reliance on Christ, our relationship to him, and our role for him, we can respond to success or praise with gratitude and redirection. Instead of basking in the spotlight, we can say, "Thank you, but this is God's work." This doesn't mean we diminish our efforts or deny our gifts. Rather, it means we recognize the source of every good thing in our lives and use those gifts to glorify God. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, how can you, like John the Baptist, adopt the mindset of "he must increase, but I must decrease" in your daily life? Number two, are there areas where you struggle to deflect praise to God? How can you grow in humility and dependence on him? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of John the Baptist, whose humility points us to Jesus. Help us to live as people who rely on your grace, define ourselves by our relationship with you, and embrace our role in making Christ known. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore.